Let me read from Rob Feeder's post a while back. On the eve of his self-imposed retirement, Chicago radio legend Clark Weber has been named to the Illinois Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Weber, 84, will be inducted June 16th at a dinner. By the way, he's in very good company. As an IBA Hall of Fame honoree, he's with Oprah, Jack Benny, Orson Welles, Joan Rivers, Dick Biondi, Larry Lujak, Dave Garraway, Paul Harvey, Mike Wallace, Bill Curtis, Orion Samuelson, Don Cornelius, Siskel and Ebert, and going in with Clark this year, Lyle Dean, and also Armando Perez, a longtime Chicago sportscaster. And Rob mentioned, Clark, that you would be doing your last radio interview with us here. Welcome, and why?
Thank you. Why am I quitting, or why am I showing up on this show?
Both, as a matter of fact. Yes. Why the last interview? Why the last
what
anything?
Do you mean, the last interview?
This is it, yes.
Why?
I'm finding that I just don't have the strength or the energy anymore, Marianne. I just, and the offers keep coming in to do shows or to do give talks, and my ego says, yeah, let's do it. My common sense says, no, I think it's time that you stand down. And as Bob Hope had said, it's time to step away when you can still hear the applause from your dressing room.
And we've talked about this regarding David Letterman's retirement. So great that he went out the way he did, didn't keep doing the show
right.
Until people said, you know, he really shouldn't do the show anymore. You move from rock and roll to talk and then your own ad agency, and you continue to make appearances and talk to various groups around town. You're fit. You've got your marbles, except for the part about wanting to come here and make this your last interview. I see nothing wrong with you mentally. So, you know, why not just go, keep going and doing things if
and
it feels good?
And the ego saying, hey, I'm still a star. I'm not a was-been.
There you go. Yeah.
And also, you sound so great, and you sound the same.
That's right.
I mean, you just
another
don't.
Reason why he shouldn't stop.
Exactly.
We're here to talk you out of this,
yeah,
Clark.
Yeah, we're going to talk you out of it.
Talk to Joan.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
So now.
I know how that goes. You know what? I think your move from rock and roll, the 60s and 70s on Ellis and CFL, into talk radio, WIND, other places, and then your own ad agency and so forth and so on. What phase of all this did you enjoy most?
I enjoyed all of it. I did. But like you, because you made the same move that I did, you moved from rock and roll into television. And the same reason, there were challenges, and rock and roll began to get a little old. I was 38 years old and still playing She's Real Fine 409, and that was getting a little redundant. I didn't want to be a one-trick pony.
Well, you certainly succeeded in that department. You came to Chicago from Milwaukee, first night on the air here, the overnight show, September of 61. What was your career plan when you first came here as a young man?
Well, when I first came to Chicago, it was totally by accident. I was working with a fellow named Gene Taylor and Sam Holman, who were working with me on a station in Milwaukee, and Sam got very drunk one night and made a scurrilous remark to a parking lot attendant who picked up a tire chain and was going to decapitate Sam. And I whistled. I saw a squad car go by, and I whistled. The squad car came over and broke up the fight.
This was in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee.
And he was a radio executive
right.
at your station?
And Sam said, "You just saved my life. I'll never forget you." Well, about a year later, he called me in Milwaukee and said, "Hey, this is Sam Holman." And I said, "Don't tell me I've got to save your life again." No, he said, "I'm going to save your career. I want you to come down here to WLS. There are still black scorch marks on Highway 41 in Milwaukee leading to Chicago where I floored it to get down here.
Couldn't wait to get here,
and
huh?
And it's been a good ride.
Yes, I should say so. And as a ad agency owner in recent years, you, I know, always talked about how there was a forgotten group out there.
Yes.
Advertisers were not really catering to the aging baby boomers. Has that changed?
No, it has not. As a matter of fact, it's even grown, Bob. Every day in this country, 100,000 people turn 65. That's a huge number, and will continue to do so for the next 20 years.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because you've been talking to so many of these people for,
yes,
for a lot of years, and that's a lot of what you've been doing lately.
The personal appearances.
The personal appearances. Yeah. First of all, they must be so thrilled when they see you, right? Because
that's true.
Here you are like the picture of health and stamina and youth and enthusiasm. I mean, do you feel like you connect with them on that level?
Yeah, yes, I do. And I recognize that to a certain extent, I'm a role model because
yeah,
I'm doing all the things that many of them aspired to do or gave up on. And so I represent something that they believe in their heart and their mind can be done. And it can. I just read the other day where $60 million a year are spent on diet aids in this country, and you walk down Michigan Avenue here and you can see an awful lot of people who are spending those $60 billion.
And back to the business of advertising and aging baby boomers, so I don't understand, because today, as I say, old is the new young, and I remember my dad when he was 50 seemed
sure,
old, and
sure,
now 50's young, and folks like that, I mean, they have all the money. And I'm generalizing here, but they have a lot of money, and they're not acting the way people acted a generation ago. So why aren't advertisers clamoring to get at those people?
Good question, Bob. Take a television commercial, whether it's Toyota or Chrysler or one of the others. You'll see all of the ads representing women, men who are in their late 20s and early 30s. The thinking in the auto industry is that by the time you're 50 years old, your buying habits, as far as an automobile are concerned, are encased in stone. There's not a likelihood that you're going to change.
Well, that may have been true for my dad.
Yes,
but not
for
me.
Yeah, no,
and not
no,
for you.
Exactly.
But we've talked about this before, and you've said that, you know, that is something that does need to change, and that, you know, you were hoping that it could change. I mean, have you seen that change happen?
No, I have not. No, I have not. There's still, the auto industry is still looking for that young buyer that they can convince, as opposed to the older one.
And other industries following?
Absolutely, they are. They're all looking at that younger industry and hoping that they can sway them.
Okay, so I have a question about your retirement.
Yes.
All right, so you're not going to be talking, you're not going to be giving these talks that
right,
you have been giving. And then, so what if it's like your birthday or something, and we want to talk to you? You're just going to say no to us?
Well, there's Joan, the keeper of the keys.
You have to ask.
What do you want to talk to him about?
You have to ask Mrs. Weber.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Is she giving you a really hard time?
No.
What is she doing?
No, we've done all of that.
Okay.
We live in a retirement community in Evanston.
Okay.
Selling our home in Fort Myers, and generally mentally downsizing, because it's time. I mean, we don't have that much time left.
I've forgotten. Yeah. How many daughters? Four?
Four. Wall-to-wall daughters. Yes.
And you talk about not much time left. Well, you know what? I just read about the woman who ran the marathon at age 96,
yes,
I think?
Yes.
And no reason why you can't shoot for that these days.
Well, they think denial is a river in Egypt, you know.
He's got a million of them.
But seriously, this is a conversation that I always ask myself, well, wait, now I definitely don't have the time that I thought I had 30 years ago, or that I did have 30 years ago, and 30 years from now I'll be saying that. But if we go around just thinking that, then it would be very depressing. I mean, how do you not How are you not depressed thinking that way? Don't you want to think that you're going to be one of those who lives to be 120 years old and healthy?
Exactly. Like the man who several years ago walked across the street at the Wrigley Building, went in to see a psychiatrist. And he said, "Doc, I've got a problem." And the psychiatrist said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I keep singing Green, Green Grass of Home." The doctor said, "Well, that's not unusual. That's called the Tom Jones syndrome." And the guy said, "Is it common?" And the doctor said, "It's not unusual."
Yeah, it's Clark Weber, and the book is Clark Weber's Rock and Roll Radio.
Does that answer my question?
No, it did not, by the way.
Clark taught me a long time ago, when you don't have an answer, come up with a one-liner.
Yeah, that's right.
It's, by the way, the book, I assume you can still get it somewhere. It's a great, it's almost like a great scrapbook of the golden age of Top 40 radio here in Chicago, isn't it?
It's available on Amazon, yes.
Fun. It's a fun book.
Several copies in my garage, but that's the extent of it.
We'll continue with Clark Weber, and by the way, we have a little surprise for you, Clark, when we come back.
Yes.
A little voice from the past right after these.
15 years ago, the Chicago Housing Authority began demolishing its high-rises. Local families were promised replacement housing. So why are they still waiting? Tonight on WGN-TV News at 9.
Serrano Marciano in the afternoon, visiting with Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark, disc jockey, talk show host, program director, ad executive, and industry elder statesman now. Ooh, how do you like that title,
does that
Clark?
Cover that book?
And world's nicest guy, too.
Yes.
I would add that. We all grew up with Clark. Why don't we listen to a little bit of the way Clark sounded, just a little sample here of what was on your radio, maybe your transistor, back in the 60s.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark, on the old sounds of Channel 89 Radio, and we'd like to pause right about now and say hello to a group of friends of ours that are holed up at Bruce's place tonight. The entire gang throwing the cast party from the Evanston Township High School. Gang, many happy returns of the evening to you, and hope you enjoy this sound.
How about Bruce's place? Have you been there lately, Clark?
Yes, yeah. What? Hi, everybody. This is Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark, on the old Channel 89.
See, you still got it.
I love it. You sound exactly the same. Yeah. When you hear yourself, when you hear that, does it take you all the way back
oh,
there
yes, it
immediately?
Does. Yes,
what do you
it does.
Think about?
I was scared spitless the night that they recorded that, yes, because I had only been here about a week or two. And it was like any radio station you go to when it's new. Boy, it's overwhelming.
So you were new, and then were people asking, well, who's Mother Weber?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I still get people asking about Mother Weber. I really do. They say, was she real? Oh, yes, she was real.
Well, of course.
Yes,
she had to be.
Yeah. Had to be.
Here's a voice from your past who left us with a little something, Clark. Listen to this.
Hey, Chrome Dome. Well, you got him fooled again, huh? Hey, it's your old nemesis from WLS years in Chicago, Ron Riley, out to the east. I understand you're being coronated or something by the Illinois broadcasters. Oh, what'll they think of next? Seriously, congratulations to you, my friend. You've done some good radio. You're the man around town in Chicago, my hometown, and I'm very happy that you're getting into the Hall of Fame for the broadcasters. Have a great show this afternoon, along with Bob, and good luck to you. See you later.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know where he was broadcasting from? The Baltimore Radio Announcer's Home for the Bland.
The Riley Weber feud continues, or was it the Weber Riley feud? I can't remember.
I got to tell you, every Monday when the cleaning lady comes in, they've got him in a rubber room, and he talks about, I used to be a star. I used to be a star.
That feud, so-called, that you guys had back in the day was probably a very, very good thing for your ratings in the day and Ron Riley's at night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and that's why it was created. His kids at night would listen to me, and my adult audience in the morning would listen to him, so there was an ulterior motive to that, sure.
And but, and you for a while were the program director.
Yes, I was his boss, which he used to tell people to, is a double S-O-B spelled backwards.
What was the most unpleasant thing you ever said to him as a boss?
Oh, I think it was all pleasant. It was, came right from the heart.
But, was it difficult for you to be a manager, yes, and also one of the jocks?
Yes, yes, it was.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because you're the leader, and Lou Jack was the worst one that I had to direct because he just he was like herding cats, being Lou Jack's boss.
He didn't want to take direction?
He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He just wanted to do his thing.
And what possible direction would you give somebody like that anyway?
Well, you just tell him, don't hurt yourself, and go ahead and do it, and which is what he did. Yeah.
You gotta give some people space, don't
and
you?
He was one of those. Sure, sure.
Well, Clark, I know you've said that this is it, but I know we're going to want you to come back here again sometime.
I know. So, it's going to have to be like some anniversary or some...
Oh, speaking of anniversaries,
yeah.
And this is kind of interesting. I was thinking about this because I started on the Big 89 on June 8th of 1973. And mm-hmm. I think one day I was talking to Clark, or maybe one of the other guys from the era that I grew up listening. I started to ask the question, do you remember, and I was going to say, do you remember your first day on that station? Do you remember the date? And I didn't even get the sentence out when I think, Clark, you spit the date right back to me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, everybody remembers.
Well, you can't forget that. I mean, it's to walk up this street, and we used to call it the Street of Dreams. Because there were so many people. Well, all the radio stations were here on Michigan Avenue. WIND was across the street. This one was here. LS was at the corner. JJD was just down the street. So was WIND. So you saw people who had big dreams and high hopes. And when they got to the street, this was where they wanted to be.
And your anniversary was September, right?
All right. September the, what was it, the 20, no, September 30th, 1961.
Now all I have to do is remember our wedding anniversary, and I'll be okay.
That one requires some thought. We have one coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah? A wedding anniversary?
The 60th.
You're kidding.
No, 60
What's your
years.
Secret to staying with the same person for 60 years?
Well, I've been hard of hearing for a long time. And
that helps. I have a lot to learn from Clark Weber.
But can you imagine 60 years on the night of the anniversary, the 60th? I'm going to go in the bathroom and cry.
That's so awesome. Congratulations on that. That is huge.
Yes. I have a feeling Clark's really real final appearance will be at Zany's doing some stand-up.
Wouldn't that be? You and I will do a two-man show at
I'll
Zany's.
Just introduce you and get out of the way, as you say. Well, all the best to you, Clark. Congratulations on being honored there by the Illinois broadcasters. Clark going into the Hall of Fame along with our pal Lyle Dean. And all the best to you. And we'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
It's great seeing you.
My pleasure.
And I love your bright sweaters that you always wear and your bright smile.
I promised that I would tell one rock and roll story that you've never heard before.
Okay.
All right. This took place in about 1967. The record company had just released two releases of a song called Music to Watch Girls By.
The Bob Crew, wasn't
it? That's right. It was the first one, and I'll tell you about the second one in a moment. So they contacted me, and they said, we would like to bring this artist in to the Chicago Theater and have a bathing beauty contest tied into the girls and the girl watchers. I couldn't do it. I was booked that night. So Paul Gallus, an old friend of ours, got one of the other guys to
record
do the
promoter.
Show. Mm-hmm. So they brought this very famous singer in to the Chicago Theater and 25 of the women who are going to be getting in their bathing suits and parading across the stage. Well, they were in adjoining dressing rooms. There was just a thin door between them. And our famous singer said, you mean to tell me the girl's on the other side? And they said, yeah. He took out his pocket knife, and he dug a little hole in the door and was looking through them. Well, about that time, one of the bathing beauties saw this hole being dug in the door, sidled up next to the door and said, my name is Susie Smith. I see what you're doing. Unless you choose me as the winner, I'm going to blow the whistle on this thing. Well, everyone on the singer's side was just mortified. They couldn't afford to do this. So they decided, indeed, this young lady was going to have to win. So went through the whole thing. She did win. She won $100 and also dinner at the Palmer House with this very famous singer who had dug the hole, Andy Williams.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's it. Andy is not going to be your opening act at Zanies.
No, well, he's died several years ago, too. And the Statue of Limitations has run out.
And I know that's why you can tell the story.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
All right, that's one not in the book, but get the book, Clark Weber's Rock and Roll Radio. Thanks, Clark.
Thanks, Clark.
Thank you.